Thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day. Thank you for another opportunity. Not that we don't have one every day. Every day is an opportunity to worship your holy name. But there is something special about worshiping your name together. And so we thank you that we're able to come together, whether we be few or whether we be many, to praise your name, to tell of your greatness, to celebrate you together. Open our hearts today to hear from your word. I pray that the people who hear will be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. When we are in need, as Christians, even as people who maybe haven't made that decision yet, if we believe in God in any form or fashion, we know that when we are in need, we pray. And we know to look to God's word for the answers that we're seeking. And I think it's pretty safe to say that every single one of us has prayed at one time out of a desperation that says, "Lord, please answer my prayer. We need you. We need a miracle." Whether it's for ourselves, or whether it's for somebody we love, whether it's a serious health condition, whether it's about our relationships, financial hardship, or maybe it's just that we know we need wisdom and direction. We don't know what choice, we don't know what path to take. But what happens? What happens when we don't understand? We pick up the word and read it, and we don't understand what we're reading. What happens when we find things that don't seem to fit our understanding? What happens when we keep asking and we don't see the answer? God doesn't seem to be paying any attention. Or maybe we get an answer and it's not what we expected. There's more than one. There are several stories that might be somewhat confusing when you look at them. But this was one for me that we're going to look at today. And it might be headlined in your Bible, the Syrophoenician woman. But it's a story about a woman who comes to Jesus. And it may present some difficulties to us, because in this story, in this account, can be a true story, but I always hate to use that word because it sounds like, you know, my grandmama used to say, if she didn't believe what we were saying to her, she'd say, "Are you telling me a story?" But these stories are true. But he seems in this one to act in a way that is inconsistent with what we think that we know about Jesus and his character. Eventually, at the end, he does heal this woman, but it almost seems like it's reluctantly. Okay, you insist. He uses language that we would consider derogatory and unkind. What's going on here? And this poor woman, all she wants is for her daughter to be restored. As I looked into this, one thing I know, everything that we have in this Bible was written for a purpose. It was written to teach us something. John says at the end of his gospel, if everything that Jesus did was written down, the world could not contain the books. So why then do we have these particular events? There must be something that God is trying to teach us. Everything that we have is written for a purpose. So I look into this in the commentaries, to me seem inconclusive. Either they try to explain it away, or they give you facts without drawing any conclusions. But there are things that we can learn. I don't know if I can give you a definitive answer today. It's something Pastor would like to say. I don't know that I can thoroughly explain this to you, but I can draw some conclusions that are good, that are things that we will benefit and hopefully be encouraged by. There are things for us to learn. So let's go ahead and look. We're going to look, Mark has a version too. We're going to look at Matthew's account. It's in chapter 15, starting in verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the region of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." He did not answer her even a word. His disciples came up and urged him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." And he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Yet he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, but please help, for even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed at once. Maybe if we back up and get a little bit of context, it'll help us with this. It appears, if these items are chronological, and they appear in the same order in Matthew and Mark, so it would appear that they are, that Jesus had learned not long before that John the Baptist, his cousin, had been beheaded. And it would seem that he wanted to get away. After all, he came and lived among us as a human being and must have had some grief and must also have realized, this is what I'm headed for. He's crucified, he's not beheaded, but he's going in the same direction. They're going to kill him too. So he withdraws, only to find when he gets to his destination, there's another crowd waiting for him there. And being Jesus, he's moved with compassion, and he begins to minister to them. And shortly thereafter, you have the scene where he feeds the 5,000 men, plus women and children, with the five loaves and the two fish. After that's over, he sends his disciples ahead of him, spends some time in prayer, and then he walks on the water. We have that account where Peter also walks on the water. Gets to where he's going, and once again finds himself amidst confrontation with the Pharisees because his disciples aren't keeping the traditions that they made up. So, he now leaves Jewish territory and goes to this region of Tyre and Sidon. This would be off the Mediterranean coast, outside of Jewish territory, on the coast of Phoenicia. He seems to have been there to rest. It tells us over in Mark chapter 7, verse 24, that he didn't want anybody to know that he was there, but that he couldn't be he couldn't keep it secret. And so this woman, the adjective here that we're given is a Canaanite woman. Now the Canaanites, if you remember, are the people that were supposed to be, they were the enemies of the Jews. They were the people that God originally told them, because of the great wickedness that they were engaged in to wipe them out. But they didn't follow God's command, and they left some of them. And these are the descendants of those people. So you have here this woman who's from the coastal area of Lebanon there. And she's calling out to them, out to him, but she's got no place. She's the person that should least expect anything from the Jewish Messiah, and yet somehow she's heard of it, and somehow she has come to believe. She uses the term "Son of David," which was a term for the Jewish Messiah, because they knew that he was supposed to be a descendant of David. So what's happening here? She's calling out insistently and loudly, apparently. But Jesus doesn't say anything. I don't know how long this went on, but no matter how much she called, he's not answering. He's not paying her any attention. So finally, the disciples who want her to go away come and say, "Hey, please, make her go away." And I almost wonder, because of the way they said it, if they expected that he would heal her, that he would grant her request rather. Maybe they were thinking, "Hey, you know, I thought we were here to get rest. Make this person go away so we can get some rest in here." It would be some time, and also, you know, this is not a Jewish person. This is a Gentile person, and it's going to be some time before they come to understand that Jesus came for all. But during his earthly ministry, he primarily ministered to the Jews that were in that area. And it was offered, salvation was offered to the Jews first. They're his chosen people. They remain his chosen people. And based on Jesus' response, though, because he said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," they might have expected, well, maybe he's going to heal her. Maybe he's going to heal her and send her away that way. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He lets her continue on, and eventually she comes. She comes and she bows down before him and she begs for help. And Jesus now has this response, which always puzzled me, always troubled me. It seems a very unkind thing to say. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And I've heard people say, "Well, it's because he was meant for the Jews first, and here he is. He's trying to recoup. He's trying to get some restoration time." Don't know. That's all conjecture. But the term that he actually uses when he says it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, the term that he uses there is actually, some of your translations may say "little dogs." It was not a complimentary term to the Jews to call somebody a dog. It was Jews didn't keep dogs as pets. They considered dogs unclean and scavengers. But the Gentiles sometimes did keep them as pets. So even in this, he's responding to her in her context. He's not necessarily using the term in the way that the Jews would have used it. Still not, doesn't sound very nice, but he's making a point. "I'm not here for you, not yet." He's putting the Jews first as God's people, But he's not actually calling the Gentiles dogs in the sense that most would have in that context. But this woman is undaunted. She has not given up. She says, okay, yeah, that's the way it is. But even those little dogs get the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus is moved by her faith. Now, did he know all along that he was going to do this? Was this a test? We don't know. But we do know that he's moved by her faith. And that he grants her request. But it does raise those questions. Why in the world, why did he ignore her for so long? Was he testing her faith? Was he testing the disciples to see how they were going to respond to this situation? Was he just plain tired? He did, after all, function as a human being, as a man. And why this harsh language? Is it another test? Was it to illustrate to his disciples that, after all, no one was excluded? Because eventually he does perform the miracle. Was it to highlight what he was about to do in the miracle? We don't ever find Jesus in any other situation being anything that we would consider cruel or unkind. The harsh words that he did deliver were always to the hypocrites and the religious leaders who thought that they were better than anyone else. He never treated the sick or the supplicant that way. He tells her his duty is first to Israel. And that's more clearly stated in Mark 7:27. But we're back to the question then. Why is this here? Why is this recorded? It's in two different places, two different Gospels. Must be important. Possibly it's there to give us a glimpse into Jesus' humanity. Possibly it is there to illustrate his special relationship with his people. But it also shows that Jesus responds to the faith of anyone who comes to him in faith. And not just the Jews. So the lessons that we can learn from this passage, we may not completely understand what's going on here. I'm sure many a scholar would talk to you and say that they understand it perfectly. Maybe they do. But here are the things I think that we can learn, whether we completely understand it or not. The first lesson is do not give up. No matter what your circumstances are, this woman is among the descendants of Israel's enemies. She has no reason to expect anything good. And if they had done what God told them to do, she wouldn't even have been around. By all that they would have shunned her in any case. And Jesus seems to be playing right into that, but I think he's doing it in order to then bring out the fact that no, that's not the way it's going to be going forward. So regardless of what your circumstances are, you may think I've done too many bad things. You might think, well, I don't deserve this because X, whatever the case may be. But God will respond to your faith. Don't give up. Don't give up in the face of discouragement. In this situation, Jesus was acting like he was going to completely ignore her, wouldn't pay any attention to her, wouldn't even give her a word. The disciples wanted to run her off, but she wouldn't give up. And she got what she came for. Hold on to your faith like this woman did. Hold on to your faith in who he is and in what he can do. And don't ever stop calling. Don't ever stop asking. Every night before we go to bed, I pray the same things for my wife. For rest, for good night's sleep, because she's been having so much trouble with that, and for restoration. And I mean a lot by that word. I mean healing. And I'm going to keep asking until the day God takes her away, if He chooses to do that, because I know my God. I know that He can heal. I know that He's a good God. And I'm going to keep asking for His best unless He tells me to shut up. And all of us have that right to come before Him as His children. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to guess. We don't have to think maybe we'll be rejected, as this woman must surely have processed, because she knows she's not of the chosen people. But she wouldn't give up. And so that's our lesson. Don't give up. Secondly, God will not always, or perhaps even usually, respond the way that we think He should. God is sovereign. Jesus had a greater purpose in this process. He was doing something bigger than what was immediately apparent. He did eventually grant her request, but He did it on His own time, in His own way. We can argue over the specifics, but look what we have learned. His grace, finally, His grace is extended to all. This was just a little glimpse of what would come. God has always, throughout history, not just here, but even back in the Old Testament, even back in the sacrificial system, if you read and unpack the stories, you will find that God has always responded to faith. Yeah, sometimes He made it pretty hard to doubt, although people managed anyway. But He always responded and always does respond to faith. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. Come to the Lord in faith, and He will respond. It may not be the way that we want or the way that we think He should, but we can trust that our good God will answer faith. No one who seeks Him by faith will be denied. We can say that with absolute confidence, and that's what this story tells us. So thank You, Lord. Thank You for making it abundantly clear over and over and over in Your holy word that You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek You, that You respond to faith. Lord, we choose to trust You. We choose to believe. Even though we don't always understand what's going on around us, even though we don't understand why we're still sick, why there are still things going on that we don't think should go on, why we don't have the answers in the timing and in the way that we think we ought to have them, we choose to trust You because we know that You are a God of Your word and that You respond to faith. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, with the people that we have here, I'm not going to do a formal. Well, you know what? I'm not going to do a formal invitation, but I'm going to say one more thing, just because we have people, we have the potential to reach people across the world, and that is simply this: we talked today about God's response to faith. While Jesus was here, He taught us how we should live. He exemplified for us. He showed us by His own example how we should live. And then He died on a cross, the only one who ever was without sin. so that he could pay and make it possible for that woman who was not part of his chosen people. He made it possible for her and for everyone who would come after to be able to come into the presence of Almighty God, to be washed clean of sin, and all we have to do is give our lives to him. All we have to do is say, Lord, I know I've sinned. Please come into my life and cleanse me. So again, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for making a way. In Jesus' name, amen.